He said the primary problem of an African is peace with his neighbor. In the summary, he's afraid his neighbor may be his enemy. Now, I don't want to discuss that in details. But the point is that that's why a lot of preachers, half of them are not even Christians. I told you, half of those prophets you see, they are not Christians. Okay? They capitalize on it. So when you go, they also tell you somebody doesn't like you. And now I've told you, what do you tell such a person? Say, you, pastor, does everybody like you? How come you don't have my problems? It's not revelation for you to tell somebody doesn't like me. They are just, I'm going on the road. They just don't know why I'm driving this car, and it's not them. They don't know me. I'm sitting down. Why is he sitting? Why is he not standing? Why did he marry this woman and not that one? It's normal. It's life. That's why God said, okay, let's be like this. I will have to prepare a table for you. That's how to settle it. Because you don't have a choice in this life. You always have enemies. But they are never the cause of your problems. A lot of people now capitalize on that, thinking it's methods that draw people to you. Listen to me, it's not methods. There is a spiritual power. Are you getting my point? That's how it is. You're a businessman. There is a spiritual what? Power. And you must understand that. You must. You face life with that attitude. That's what I said last time. Don't do the works of the Egyptian, which is, like somebody did, strategize to meet big people. Listen, let me give you the word of God straight. You know, anytime I'm preaching to Christians, I like to tell them some things straight. I was preaching the word the other day. I told them something very straight. Everybody was looking at me. I said, if you run a school and your school is a special center, you know what I mean? How many of you know what is called special centers? I said, if you're a Christian, hear ye the word of the Lord, you will go to jail. I didn't say repent. I didn't say I'm warning you. I just said, this is the word of God to you. If you're a believer and your school is a special, you know, for those who don't know what special centers are, if you are not in Nigeria, you know what, that is a school where they like to, they do fraudulent exam malpractices. So candidates that can't pass exams the normal way, they go and register, they're knowing that the school authorities will help them, you know, cheat. Let's summarize like that. So they get grades they did not work for. I said to them, don't worry. I said, you see, if you're a Christian and you have such a school, please pack your bags and baggages because you will go to prison. The Muslim will not go. You'll be surprised. Your unbelieving neighbor will not go. But God will just say, angels, select the believers amongst them as a Christian, arrange all of them. Put them in jail. 5 years imprisonment, no option of fine. When they come back, they will fear God. Are you getting my point? Yes, that one I said the other day, that was in the nature. I said, any business you were not doing before your uncle became a commissioner, if you start it, you're also going to prison. I hope you are hearing, you know. It's not begging. I'm happy you didn't say amen. It's not right. If you were not a contractor and your cousin became a minister, then you've gone to register a company and you begin to bid for contracts. Bros, sis, you will go to prison. If only to fulfill my word for 1 month. More likely, they will cool your heels there for 2 good years so that when you come back, you will fear God. Now, let me just quickly let you know. You won't die there. The Jagudas in prison will not injure you. I'm happy you are saying the amen on people's behalf. You will only go and come back intact. But for that period, you know, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. When you come back, you will lose faith in human connections. That's what God is trying to do. You know, he said to Jacob, I will not leave you alone until I have done everything that I promised. It's not just that I will follow you and bless you by force. No. If you do badly, I will flog you. I won't say that I'm tired of this, but I will never be tired of you. I will correct you. I will punish you. I will rearrange you. I will break your bone, heal it, slap you, rearrange your face, cut your hair, grow it. Do whatever I need to do. I won't leave you alone until you have been blessed. So when God sends a child of God to prison, it is, I don't want to leave him alone. Another one, if you use fake receipt in your office, they will fire you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Thank you, thank you. You know, God is taking you to a level of prosperity. You can't get there with this kind of magumago that Nigerians play. No, you can't. You can't get there. You can't get there. You can't get there. You cannot get there with mago. Listen, you will never execute a proper contract with fake things. If you do it, you will go to prison. It's only for Christians. So Muslims are not going to, Muslims will go to mosque. You will go to prison. Why? Because God said, these are my people. I have to train them in what is right. If I don't train Abraham like that, how will I fulfill the blessing? How will I fulfill the promises I have given to him as part of the blessing? I can't. So what do? I make sure he's one that can teach his children, his household after him, in the way of the Lord, teach them how to execute righteousness and justice. And that's what God is doing in your life. You get my point? I digress. I know the point from which I digress there. You know, I do things like this just to help Christians. So back to what I was saying. So I said that if you use the connection, the method that fellow we talked about last week was trying to use to break through in life, God said, listen, I will stand deliberately against you. The little you thought you had before, I take it away. Are you getting my point? Why? Because I have called you to a promised land. And in that promised land, you don't water it the way they water their crops in Egypt. This one drinks water of the rains of heaven. What does that mean? Luck, you know, colloquial now, is your portion. You will be lucky. You hear what I said? What did I say? Say it, I will be lucky.
I will be lucky.
That's it. Now, that's the summary. Like I say all the time, luck is a colloquial expression for the word blessing. What does it mean to be lucky? It is simple. It means that you are supposed to get to work by at 9. Maybe you're supposed to get to your office to do something at 9 o'clock. As you're about to leave, your tire goes, boom. It was blown. You get, by the time you finish arranging and everything, you go back to the, you go down there, it's already 10 o'clock. All the bad deals came to the other competitors between 9 and 10. I don't know whether I get my point. All the bad deals, which looked good at the beginning. The man who came to collect all of them said, man, the jobs have opened. Quickly come and submit your bid. He left at 9:55 and he was angry with you that you were not around. And they all submitted bids that was going to make them millions. Except that they never saw that money. They invested a lot and they lost everything. Why did you lose it? It's not because you were, you know, that morning as I was coming out, the Holy Spirit said, don't go, don't go. And I began to say, Father, are you the one speaking? Or it is my flesh. And I said, the Lord is good. You see, my brethren, it happens once in a while. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it happens. A friend of mine, it happened to him. He was supposed to travel from one of these northern, towns in Nigeria to the next. As he was about to leave, suddenly felt uncomfortable. He said, no. I'm not going. And he relaxed. Everybody that traveled around that period on that road, all these crazy people that are coming from Chad, you know, they killed everybody. So it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But the same person, the day there was one serious crash that killed a lot of people, Abuja to Port Harcourt, some years ago. He said he was in Abuja. They were doing a program, a training. You know, he's a big boss in one pharmaceutical company. So they finished that day. So he checked his watch, and he thought that there's a flight going to Port Harcourt. So all his people that came from Port Harcourt, you know, they wanted to hang around, you know, just relax in Abuja till the next day. All right? And he said, no, all of you will be at work tomorrow morning. Go today. So they were grumbling, but he forced them to travel that day. If he did not, they would have been on the flight that crashed the next day. He called me, told me later, he said, do you know, I forced my people. They were angry, but I forced them to go that evening. Thereby making sure they missed the flight for the next morning, which was the one that crashed and killed almost everybody minus one person on board. Did anybody speak to him? No. He just looked at it and said, guys, you must be at work. It was just about work. That we have finished the program. What are you still doing here? Go home. But being the big boss, nobody could disobey. So he forced everybody, go home. So you know why I keep on saying these things? Because too many Christians are waiting for somebody to talk to them. So look, God doesn't always talk to you. After a while, I say you should understand things by now. I'm not telling you anything again. But doesn't mean he's not leading you. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It does not mean he's not leading you. It does not mean he's not leading you. That morning, how did he lead you? The story I was telling, your tire just didn't work. You turned your car, he refused to start. Don't be like those who, you know, who will start chasing the devil who does not want me to succeed. Listen, I know the devil doesn't want you to succeed. But, you know, there are people who don't want me to breathe. So will I stop breathing because of them? I have the capacity to breathe and I'm alive. Therefore, I will breathe. You are getting my point? So people don't want to succeed does not worthy of your prayer point. That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. And all this my talk today is for you to understand. You are not an average person. That was a mistake that Laban made concerning Jacob. He thought Jacob was just an other person. But Jacob wasn't. When I said you'll be lucky, that's what it means. You will be delayed unduly. Why? So that you may meet the person that God sent and said, you, go. Help that my boy. Help that my girl. You are following what I'm saying? Did God say, wait, somebody's coming to help you? No. You are just loitering because somebody else is delaying you. But they delayed you so that you will meet the person. Are you getting my point? You can't just say, how Mrs. Potiphar helped Joseph. One of the greatest helps Joseph had in Egypt was Mrs. Potiphar. I hope you know that. You know, if it was the Holy Spirit, Joseph was going to cast somebody out. Are you getting my point? Holy Spirit say, all right, you know, Joseph, right now, we'll have to, the next phase of your ministry is in jail. You know, just slap somebody so that they can convict you of assault, and then you go to prison. I don't know if you get my point. No, think about that. Joseph will look and say, who's that talking? Get behind me, Satan, instantly. So God said, well, let's not do it like that. Let's do the one that there will be no discussion. I know Joseph. Don't worry. He won't do it. So Mrs. Potiphar began to stroke his behavior. Oh, boy, this is your Jewish behavior. It's fine. When Joseph refused and threw her hand away, she vexed, shouted, and then Joseph landed in jail so that he might meet the man that God will use to lift him to the throne. Who helped him? Was it Potiphar or Mrs. Potiphar? Think about it. Who was a greater help to Joseph in Egypt? Potiphar or Mrs. Potiphar? Did he feel like that? He didn't feel like that. Oh, but I want you to understand. You can be in prison like with everybody else who also arrived there wrongly. Doesn't mean you are like them. It doesn't mean you are like them. Say it. I'm unique. God is paying special attention. I think those two words are important. One, you are unique. And two, God is paying what? Special attention. He's watching. You know, I like to always add this one. There are so many people who have not taken the step who are listening to me today. So I always like to add this. If the woman broke your heart, it's the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
I like the way you answered. It means they have done it to you. It's the will of God. What did I call it?
The will of God.
In fact, let me just give you 1 second. Just there on your seat, just say, Lord, thank you. No, just say the thank you from the bottom of your heart. It's important. All your disappointments, you need to say thank you. You know, some angels, their own job, you know, there are different angels in heaven. There are angels that always like to say nice things. Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, there are angels like that. You know, Gabriel. Anytime you see Gabriel, it's good news. When you see Gabriel, you know something is about to happen. Once you see Gabriel, hello, when you see an angel, hello, yeah, my name is Gabriel. Say, what is it? The angels like that. The angels that when you see, I say, my name is Michael. Say, oh God, what happened? You know, Boko Haram invaded and he had to be called. You know, there's no. Yeah, Michael is not going to tell anybody anything good, man. Like, it is well with who? I kill somebody. He says, it's well with you. Oh, yes, it's well with you. Yes, because I killed 5 people. Yes, that's why it's well with you. It's true. Now, there are some angels. That's what I'm going to. Their own are to cause confusion towards you in the lives of those that are not going to help you. I don't know where I get my point.
Yes,
you're paying attention to one particular lady. You bought her a recharge card. She was your val. She's everything. You know what I'm saying? You've even commissioned an artist to come and Picasso her for you. You know? You've done everything. And God says, this girl likes this guy. And she will agree to marry him. And he will marry her. And that blessing of Jacob will not be manifested. So what do? There's these angels that they just go and confuse the girl. That's their job. Anytime you see them, one relationship is about to end. Yeah, the angels like that. You know, there's this Angelina I'm really talking about. Just go to Angelina's house. Angelina, do my deal. You won't know why. Then they'll come. They'll dress up nicely. As you are about to arrive, they'll come 5 minutes before you, better dressed than you, better car than yours, finer tongue than yours, finer perfume than yours. Yours is 5,000. Their own is 15K. She doesn't like them, but they will be there when you arrive. Thereby cast doubt in your heart. In her heart also. After they've done that, after she has disappointed you, day to day will disappear. And Angelina won't know where they went. You are angry, you are frustrated. It's an angelic assignment. Amen? Amen. Don't think every angel is nice. Some people think that once I see an angel, no. Some angels in heaven are very wicked. Do I have scriptural proof? Go to Egypt, ask them. Have you caught that?
Yes.
When you ask Pharaoh and his household, what happened to their firstborns? Was he a demon of death? You ever heard of a demon of death? What do the Bible call it? So you see, revise your opinion of angels. They are not the same type. All of them, no matter what they do, the Bible says they have been sent to minister for you. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. They won't injure you. They are not going to kill you. They can't kill you. They won't. They will kill somebody for you. Yeah, some of them do that. It's not only demons that kill. They are angels that kill. They literally will kill somebody for you. Some of them scatter your relationships. That's what I'm talking about. You know why they scatter your relationships? They said, this will not allow your blessing. It won't allow you to manifest. This boy wants to buy you a car, take you to America, and then that's the end of your ministry. And you want to agree. They will push the boy so hard, you're going, you won't believe. And I thought he was a Christian. The angel says, it's not his fault, it's us. They carried him into serious temptation. He couldn't do anything. He said, but he too is a child of God. He said, don't worry, his own consecration will not be like your own. Let him not spoil things. You know what I'm trying to say again? You are special. Are you getting my point? And God is paying close attention, special attention. He's working out the details. He's working that thing out. He's working it out. Therefore, disappointment is part of it. I get my point. It is part of it. Specially arranged. I found out just today that Isaac, while pronouncing a blessing, he made it clear to Jacob, you can't marry from here. He made that thing very clear to Jacob. That is, God paid special attention to every detail of his life. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you today, all right? And let me close quickly, all right? That's why I said, listen, in fact, this is the main thing I wanted to come to say. Let me say it because I wanted to close that series today, and I think I am going to do that, all right? So, because you know this, feel free to do that which is yours. You hear what I said? You know, like, okay, later on, okay, give me about 5 or 6 weeks. I'll get into that leading of the Spirit thing, all right? All right. First of all, I want to talk about the person of Christ again. We've done it here and there. I've talked about the work of Christ, all right? Only in Christ, things like that. But there's more about Christ. Christ the only way. I want to talk about beginning from next time, okay? Let's understand Christ again. We have to talk about him all the time. This is when I listen to messages. I want to hear the name Christ and Jesus mentioned. No matter the principle you describe, this is Christianity. I'm looking for where you toss that name, Christ and Jesus. One day I saw a magazine. You know this our, Secrets and Truths, all right? I read through it. I showed my wife. I said, really, find the name Christ for me in there. Find the name Jesus for me. Find the name God. Christian magazine. Line by line, we went to it. There was not one. There was not one. You can make it. You can do it. It is in you. A fuller. Even all these things I'm saying, the disappointments of everything was inside. Trust me, I was looking for where is Christ? Where is Jesus? I was looking. I looked through. I didn't find one. I said, whoever compiled it is not wicked. It was forgotten. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, it's no longer in the face of the church. That's the problem we often get into. So that's why it has been on my mind for some time. I want to just bring it again. I want us to put it together again, all right? So we'll get there. So after that, I'll now go into this leading of the Spirit thing, okay? But listen, why I went to do that is that you will identify what is yours. But because you know that you are not average, I didn't come to Enugu to look for money or for fame. I wasn't born here. My wife wasn't born here. But I knew by different ways that God wanted me to go there. And people will say that money is in Lagos. I said, you don't understand. I have the word of Christ, the word of God. He says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So I can go anywhere. If it's money I want, I will ask God for it. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, why are you fighting? Why are you looking for where it's happening so you can go and locate your ministry or your business there? He said, don't you realize that if we wanted that, we would have asked God for 12 legions of money. I don't know whether you get what I said. Yes, that was what Jesus said to Peter. I do that thing once in a while, just for the fun of it. I said, Lord, let's just release some words into the air. Let's just attract money. Just not for any other thing, just to have no exercise. Let's carry some weight spiritually. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow to like a river. Wealth is like a river. I command money, come. Just for the fun of it. I do it once in a while. So anything I want in life, what do? I pray about it. I pray about it. I pray about it. And it will come to wherever I go. I understood that. So go to Enugu for ministry. Go to Enugu to work. No problem. Anybody come to Enugu now will wonder, what are you talking about? If you came to Enugu 14 years ago, it wasn't like this. You know now, this road was not even dual. It was a single lane. The banks in Enugu now are more than 3 times what they used to be then. You are a witness. The first time I realized that God really can broadcast anybody from here was when one woman met me in church one day. She said, Pastor Banky, we're starting a TV station. I wanted to take common, what they call it, common what? Is it common air? Or with us or whatever. Huh? I said, that was when by force. That's the open studio. Yeah, come and record. I went, recorded a few times. But to my surprise, I said, look, this is happening. I didn't plan for it. I just went to church normally on a Sunday. Just say, please, this I was looking for you. Look at this. Next thing I knew was that I was being watched from all over South Saharan Africa. I said, wow, we haven't left Enugu. Before that time, we had been doing radio. And the message was being carried here and there. So people said that, come, money is on this side. I said, no. I have realized something about money. If we want it, we ask for it. For that reason, we just do that which is our assignment. I'm saying to you again, it's your season of harvest. Amen?
Amen.
You will take hold of your assignment and you will pour energy and faithfulness into it. That is the body through which God will bring forth that blessing. Don't forget this. Let me add this one also. We start it as a habit. We're not saying, now I am made. You know, any man who says, now I'm made, is unmade already. And let me explain what I'm saying. You feel like, now we have done it, nothing more to do. There was a man whose land brought forth much. And he said to himself, he said, so rest. And God said, this guy is a fool. God doesn't use such words often. It was a person that, most of the time God says fool. It's a general thing. You get what I'm saying? That this is generic. A fool says in his heart, he doesn't know who is saying it. If you say it, you're a fool. But when he's saying it, he's not mentioning your name. But that was one in which God pointed at somebody and said, that fellow, he's a fool. Why? Because he said, now, so, rest. Now, the reason why I say that is this. Because life, there's a season, all right, of fruitfulness. And that season merges, you know, flawlessly into the season of multiplication. There's a difference. There's a difference between fruitfulness and multiplication. But you see, what makes your fruitfulness become multiplication is that you did not stop the work that brought you into fruitfulness. Once you don't stop the work, automatically you will step into multiplication. I'm not going to discuss in details. I want to add these things. All right? And then, so that I can close. This is how it is. A time will come, you will become fruitful. In fact, this is your season of fruitfulness. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
Now, the things that you did, because that's why we said, He said, he that watches the waves will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. We said, we brought up from there that what he was saying is that there is work to do during sowing, and when it's harvest season, there's still work to do. Now, one of the things that characterize harvest, I'm trying to say everything so I can close. One of the things that characterize harvest is ease. You hear what I said? Yeah, ease. The labor you put in maybe 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years ago that brought you, as an illustration, 10,000 naira. You put it in now, and the same labor, it gives you 1 million. That's how you know it's harvest. It is not because you don't labor at all. It is the ease. So when the crop permits, he sits at home because the harvest has come. Is that what he said? What did he say? I didn't hear you. He puts in the sickle. That is, there's work to do. But this time around, that effort yields much because the harvest has come. It's a spiritual principle. So what characterizes harvest time, fruitfulness time, is that things happen with ease. But this is a principle of multiplication. Now, those who will not step into multiplication, they think because it's now easier, we put in less effort. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. No. Did you hear it? Yeah, because it's easier now. So we put in what? Less effort. But let me drop down with you as I close. Don't do that. As a believer, don't labor excessively for anything at any time. I've heard it said before, don't believe it. Okay, it's not good. It was a mistake. We don't say such things anymore. I've heard it before that, what are you doing sleeping? If you have things to do, you shouldn't sleep. And you wake up at any time during the night, time to study, time to walk, time to plot. That gospel is not gospel. What did I say? That gospel is not gospel. Okay, that saying is not gospel. That statement is not true. If you wake up during the night, except for the few times that are special that you should pray, which waking up should be early in the morning. Do you understand? Wake up during the night, go and ease yourself, go back, close your eyes, and sleep. I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. The night comment when no man will walk. Don't walk at night. Sleep. You should sleep. You know, there's a plague these days. I'm just gisting now. My message is almost over. But people don't sleep again. How do you know? Send a message at 1 a.m. to somebody. 9 out of 10, they will reply you. One day I said, one bro, you know they sleep. Say, you too. Why are you sending me a message at 1 a.m.? I said, you are supposed to read it when you wake up in the morning. People don't sleep again. In fact, one brother will send me a message. Okay, are you awake? I look like, if I'm awake, I'm not telling you. I said, so, if I'm awake, hey, you're talking 12 midnight. 1 a.m. He said, oh, God, are you awake? So this days, I know the answer. I'm not awake. Leave me alone. I'm not awake. What I'm going to say is that sleep. Are you getting my point? Yeah, sleep. You know, why I went into that is this. A lot of times, believers, this mistake we make, we put in so much effort because the thing is not yielding yet. Then when it starts yielding, we relax. Now, you should relax. But the sin, the mistake there is in putting excessive effort at the beginning. Let me drop this one for you. Put the effort you can sustain. So my business is just starting. Doesn't mean you shouldn't sleep. And I'm just trying to build a business, so that's why I don't have time for Bible study. That is one of the most stupid statements I hear this generation. Your business is not big enough to stop you from going to hear the word of God. It's not allowed. So once we settle, I will not have time. Foundation for high blood pressure. When we settle, I will not have time. Listen, my brethren. What I'm going to emphasize is this. If you settle the balance, if you strike the balance between the necessary and effective work and the rest that God said you should have, when you step into harvest, into fruitfulness, do you understand? You won't have to cut back. You will continue that same pace, and without doing anything extra, you will enter into multiplication. Do you understand the logic? So you put in the effort today, it's bringing you, let's say, 1,000. After some years, you are putting the same effort, But it's not a season of what? Harvest. So it's bringing in a million. A lot of people will have been happy with the 100,000, so they cut back. But because you struck the balance, there's no need to cut back. Are you getting my point? You continue with the same effort, then this time around, because everything that God brings into your hand, there is seed for the sower and there's bread for food. You don't eat everything. So you take the seed for the sower, all right? There's a physical side of that seed, which means, let's use simple cash as an example. You make a million. God says, don't eat everything. You have to invest maybe half of it back into the business. Or sometimes the proportion increases, depending on whatever it is. You come to your own, you know, proportion by yourself, with prayer, with understanding, all right? With, you know, understanding what is going on around in your business, in your personal life, and all of that. And then you reinvest inside that business. A time comes. The same effort, the same amount of sleep, no headache, no special stress, nothing. The season of multiplication. Where it used to be a million, it's a billion. Where the business was in two cities, it's in 20. A time comes, your men will have carried it to another 20 before they inform you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are just putting in the same effort. Let me use ministry as an example. I teach the word of God. All I do is I consistently what? Teach. Every week we must pack in a few new messages, archive it digitally, upload it to the internet, you know, get it ready on CDs. I will continue to do that unless God by himself changes the pattern of the anointing, because anointings can, you know, God can say, okay, now you've done this enough, let me add this one to it or remove this one from you. No, he can do that. Okay? Or if he doesn't do that, I may change the way by which I teach. Maybe instead of teaching every Saturday, I teach, like my wife and I, I've said this long ago, say, okay, do seminars all over the place, you know, but I must continue to teach, even if a million people are helping me carry the work, you understand, walking. Even if they say, okay, pastor, you are not teaching today, that is here, I will not teach. I will teach somewhere. Do you understand my point? I will teach somewhere else. As of today, I don't teach end of the year, one whole month. I will still maintain that. I will maintain that so that, listen, at the age of 90, hear ye the word of the Lord. This is how I will stand. Nobody's bringing a chair for me to sit down. I wasn't sitting down when I was 30. Are you getting my point? When I was 40, I wasn't sitting down. When I'm 90, I'm not planning to sit down. I will stand from the beginning to the end. I will not get tired. You hear what I said? I will not get tired. And listen to me. That's as a preacher, as a businessman, whatever be your career in life, the same thing applies. You also will not get tired. Amen. You will step from reaping, you know, tenfold into a hundredfold. Amen. And you will not get tired. Amen. From a hundredfold, you will go into a thousandfold. Amen. And you will not get tired. Amen. From there, a time will come to be a millionfold. Most importantly, you still will not get tired. Amen. Amen. I like to always drop this. The time will come, using today's references of the value of cash, you'll be given, and it's like, okay, Jonathan's wedding today. Ah, I cannot attend. Please give him this 5 million naira for me. Amen. See, let me say this. There are offerings you discuss with your wife. You know, if I give somebody 2,000 naira, I won't get home and say, sweetheart, you know, I saw, you remember this person? Yes, I give him 2,000. I just want you to know. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. I won't. Even if it's 10, I'm not sure I could remember. But you know, if I want to give somebody 100,000, I can give you a head though, but I'll not tell my wife, sweetheart, I have to make expenditure. Because my wife and I will discuss all these things. I said, I have to make expenditure. How much was it? 100K. Uh-huh. What happened? You know that kind of thing. Yeah, that's where I'm going. You will give 2 million naira, you will not remember to tell anybody. That's what the gist is about. That is, your discussion with your wife or whoever is your, you know, people you discuss all things with, will be when it's like 50M, you know, like 50M. Oh, sweetheart, yeah, you know that work they said they were doing? Yes, I gave them a check yesterday for 50M. Okay, that's so nice of you. Why didn't you make it 100? You think so, 100? All right, it's okay, John Boo, call them, add 50 to it. Oh, you know what I like about you here? End time I say these things, you laugh. Yes. No, laughter in Christianity is not just that something is funny. You know that?
Yes.
Laughter is a sign of impending fulfillment.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. The name of Isaac was what? Laughter. The Bible said, and Abraham laughed. People think that he said that, no, you can't do it. Let Ishmael live. He said, no. So this is going to happen. Now Ishmael will die. He said, Lord, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Ishmael will indeed become a great nation. That is, Abraham thought that that his wife was going to deliver meant Ishmael would have to die. So he interceded for the life of Ishmael. He wasn't doubting God. If he was doubting God, he would not have called the name of Isaac Laughter. Isaac means God has caused me to laugh. You laughed just now. It is not because it's funny. It is because it will be fulfilled in your life.
Yeah.
Let me say this one will make you laugh too. One day you'll give me, not another preacher, me. You can give many. I'm not saying I'm the only person. But I'm just trying to say what I will do. One day you'll give me, you come to my house, I'm not around, you drop a $5 million check, I will not remember to say thank you.
Amen.
That's where I'm going to. It's not the 5 million. It's the fact that I won't even remember. Later on, they just say, Chooks, were you in my house 6 weeks ago? Why do you want to drop the 5 M? Okay, that's good. So I'll be dancing because of 5 million or what? The only time I'll call you is I say, oh boy, I say 12 now, don't buy the jet. That's good. Guys, come. Kneel down. In the name of Jesus. Did you hear that? Listen, none of these things we have said will fail.
Amen.
God, listen to this. Not one will fail.
Amen.
Listen, in your life, not one will fail.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
Hear this, you won't die.
Amen.
You won't marry a wrong husband.
Amen.
I think the woman wanted to preach that, say that one too. So let me. I'm not trying to balance the praying. It's one person. You will not marry a wrong husband.
Amen.
All of you listening to me, you will have good children.
Amen.
You will have to explain what poverty is to your children.
Amen.
That is an explanation. You say, sit down. Poverty is when you want to eat and there's no food. So your child will say, you mean it can happen? Why, daddy? You will have to take them somewhere. In fact, you won't even know where to take them. Because everywhere you go, you will stop poverty.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thou shalt remember, he said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. The last prayer I want to pray for you is that you will never forget God.
Amen.
Very important, you will never forget him.
Amen.
He will not let you forget him.
Amen.
He will not leave you alone so that you will forget him.
Amen.
Whatever he has to do, we draw you back to him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you because your word is good. Just thank him.